Welcome to the Don Provda and Erica Gray Show. The Twist.
Welcome to the Twist News. I'm Erica Gray. Did you know that you can win big betting on Biden's blunders? That's right. Betting on U.S. President Joe Biden's blunders and more. More political bets on BetOnline.ag actually has a section devoted to politics, and not just U.S. politics, but world politics as well. And today, I'm pleased to introduce Paul Krishnamurti, who is both a political analyst and a professional gambler. And he is the political editor of Bet Online. Welcome, Paul Krishnamurti. It's an interesting combination. You're both a political analyst and a gambler. And I was just floored when I received the information about Bet Online and how you're betting that Biden will have a 5-second brain freeze. But before we go into that, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Bet Online.
So, I've been in the betting industry for decades, really, since I was a kid, since I was old enough to actually legally gamble in the UK. I was a professional gambler for decades. I'm sort of semi-professional now. I bet on sports and I bet on politics a lot in lots of countries, and I analyse it for various terms. But Bet Online, particularly, who I make the odds for, we're a global sports book, right? So we take bets on, principally on sports, on American sports, on European sports, soccer, NFL, NBA, that kind of thing. But we also pride ourselves on, betting on the more outlandish novelty options. Politics is just one of those things. So really, you can in theory gamble on anything, because when you're gambling, all you're doing is you're assessing a probability that something happens, right? We could theoretically have a bet on what the colour of the next car to go past our window would be if we so were to do so. But obviously with politics, this is a never-ending conversation. This is what people all around the world talk about every day. And so, to take this example of the US election cycle. So at Bet Online, we've got odds on all of the completely serious stuff, who will win, what margin they will win by, what percentage of the vote they'll win in each race, who will be the nominees, who will be the vice president, that kind of thing. But we do more fun options as well for a night like tonight, State of the Union. We've got, dozens and dozens of betting options today, from the completely factual things like how long the Biden's address will be, which is like under or over 67.5 minutes. So you can bet either side. To, the crazy things, like, as you say, we have odds on Biden having a 5-second brain freeze. Yes. By that. Yeah.
That was just, I love it. And I think what I love about it is it seems to be universally known. I mean, I was talking to someone from China, because I carry products. I have an Amazon store. And they were asking about Biden and his brain freeze, essentially. And I was in Ireland at the Irish Parliament, and they actually took precautions in case Biden fell. So I think what's interesting, Paul, is that this is a universal, it's universally known about Biden. So tell me, what can someone win by betting on Biden having a 5-second brain freeze?
So the odds are plus 500. Mm-hmm. The odds on that happening are plus 500, or to use a more European language for betting, would be 5-1. So if you put $10 down, you would win 50 profit if it won. Okay, you get $10.60 back, $10 plus your 50 profit. Originally, we did go 10-1, so we would have won twice as much, but we took quite a lot of money came in as a very popular bet, the 5-second brain freeze. I mean, just to clarify what exactly that means as well, because we've got to be tight on the rules here, because of course in the State of the Union, very often they take a pause to accept a lot of applause from the Congress. But this is an unprompted pause in mid-sentence, right? They're not prompted by applause or anything like that. It's simply because he'd lost his train of thought. He'd lost his sentence where he was. Okay, so yeah, that's a 5-1 toss. We've got all sorts of things like that. Like the one I think is probably a more likely bet than that is that we bet plus 275 that he misnames a foreign leader or country.
I love that one too. I also love some of these others to confuse Trump with Obama. You have directly mentioned Obama. Also, you have him mentioning Putin.
Yes.
Most mentions democracy, January 6th. Excuse me, I shouldn't be laughing so hard. MAGA and Putin. He does seem to have a love affair with Vladimir Putin. I mean, this is just, actually, it's brilliant. I mean, it's comedy, it's betting, but it's also brilliant that in the betting world, you would pick up on these comical but yet bettable nuances of Biden's speeches.
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest, we do it with everyone. You know, like we do this on the Republican debates, all of the debates that they had before, you know, Trump kind of secured the nomination. We did all of that, these most mentions, you know, which particular word would they do, who would criticize Trump first, or that kind of thing. And, you know, when we come to the general, let's assume it's Biden v. Trump, again, we'll have a whole wide array of bets on what they say to each other, what they choose to discuss, whether they interrupt each other, how many times they interrupt each other. You know, it's a really entertaining way of watching a serious event, you know?
And how much can people win? Like, do you know what people have actually won on some of these bets, on these political bets? And you do have that folder there that I did find on the site. It's under, I believe it's under, is it under sports? And then you have that entire drop down, and that's where you have the politics. And we're going to go into in a bit some of the politics you cover, because you just don't cover U.S. politics. But how much can someone potentially win?
Well, I mean, that really depends on the market. You know, something like this, you're going to be restricted to a reasonably small amount. You know, maybe you could win a couple of thousand or so, because if we take too much on one particular outcome, we have to move the odds too much, and it's not really fair on the other bettors who want to, you know, have a fun bet. So we restrict on these more like fun novelty markets, we restrict them. But if you were to take, say, on the presidency or on the nomination, I mean, really, you could win millions. I mean, at the last election, we took $1 million on Trump. And I know that, you know, across the world, you know, not just Bet Online, if you accumulate the whole betting industry.
You don't just cover U.S. politics. And we know the European elections are coming up, and those are going to be huge. Is there a bet on the commission president? That is the biggest seat, most powerful seat, or is that because of the way that election is structured, you wouldn't have bets because it's a nomination? You don't know who they're
going to have. If I'm honest, we don't actually have that at the moment, but I mean, I could create that market, you know, for tomorrow morning, if that's what we wanted. If that's what you want me to do, I would price that up for the moment. Just do a bit of research. Again, it wouldn't be like a huge market like it is, like a US election market, where you're actually betting on a series of actual elections, right? It wouldn't be on that scale, but we certainly take bets on that. The bigger markets we have, though, in Europe, again, are the national elections. So, you know, we haven't got a date yet in the UK, but the UK election has to take place by the end of next January. And that, again, that will be a huge event.
So you're going to do UK elections. I know in Europe right now, there's a lot of discussion over, will conservatives get more seats? If the conservatives are going to get more seats, and which parties are going to win more within the parliament. I know that's a huge discussion. How many seats will the ECR group, the Conservatives, get?
Is that in May, I believe, isn't it?
Excuse me?
That's in May, I believe, isn't it? June. Yeah, we will definitely have betting on that. Exactly what you're saying. We'll have how many seats each group in the conservative groupings, I think, isn't there? There's a conservative grouping and there's a sort of national conservative grouping and then there's a socialist one. And yeah, we'll certainly do that. And we might even do it per country as well.
So so the political piece on your site, because when you first look at the site, it looks like it's all sports, games. Are you developing that further to bet on politics or bet on, and some of it's amusing, like even when you get in, it's not just amusing about Biden, but some of the other topics. Actually, I'm going to take a peek at the site. Hold on, we're going to take a break. I need to pull up your site. Okay, so we go to the site and we click on sports. And then from sports, there is that drop down on the left and we come to politics. Wow, you've got politics futures, Indian politics, politics USA, royal family, UK politics, world politics. Let's see what you've got under world politics. Trump to criticize Putin. That's a good one, too. Trump to criticize Putin. Indian politics. Indian government to change country name to Bharat, B-H-A-R-A-T.
Yeah.
Family. UK to hold referendum on monarchy. This is just fascinating. It's fascinating that, and it would take someone like you, Paul, someone who is both a political analyst and a gambler to do this, but it's actually brilliant and fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a kind of a life's work, you know. I mean, I think if you're into politics and you follow it and you understand the betting, it's quite, you know, there's a never-ending supply of things to talk about and things to bet, as long as there is a talking point. You know, I mean, a lot of the things we're talking about, these are more the fun side of things. But if you think, you mentioned that the number of seats in the European elections, you know, pretty much every week there is something like this. So, I mean, throughout 2024, what we're going to have, of course, is the wider US elections. You know, we'll have every week, really, for the next few months, we're going to have primaries on congressional districts. So we did a few on Tuesday. We had like one in Alabama, one in North Carolina, one in Texas. Mm-hmm. There'll be a few of those every week. And then there's all the Senate races and all the House of Representative races. And even if you've got a one-sided race, like, for example, you know, you would expect California to go Democrat Senate, we'll bet on what the winning margin will be. So we'll have something like the Democrats to win by 20% or more in California, or we'll have the Republicans to win by 20% or more in Mississippi, for example.
And how do you, as the political analyst for Bet Online, how do you determine talking points or the points for betting? Like some of the things I just read. Now, everybody recognizes that Biden has brain freeze, but some of these other things, will Trump mention Putin? You know, things like that. I mean, how do you determine that? Do you determine it by just digesting news yourself and getting an idea of going on the social networks and seeing what people are discussing? Like, how do you determine what shows up on your board?
Exactly that. I mean, I'm a news junkie. You know, I love politics. I follow politics like every day for the last 20 years.
To the choir here, myself included.
Yeah. So I've got a good feel for what the talking points will be. And, you know, I mean, these are all projections, and sometimes I'm going to get them wrong, you know, and sometimes, you know, we'll get Bet Online, we'll lose a lot of money because we've taken the wrong bets. I mean, for example, this week we lost some money on Super Tuesday because we were betting on which state Trump would fare best in of the Super Tuesday states. And I must admit, I didn't have Alaska. I did not see Alaska. I had that down to 20-1 chance. Real outsider. I thought it would be one of the southern states, Oklahoma or Alabama. So, you know, the bettors won some money off us there because, you know, I predicted that one wrong. But I think, you know, the more you watch it, you get a feel for what people are talking about. And, you know, it's a bit of fun.
I myself, as a news junkie like you, your site provides me with information because it's showing me a worldview of maybe what's considered humorous, but what's being picked up by other nations enough so that your site's a global site.
Yes.
So there's information. You may not view it that way. Maybe where it just seems like it's fun, and it is fun, but there's also information in it. And for me, it would give me information to consult this regularly to see if there's something I'm missing, or just to look at the nuances, let's say, of a political leader that you're capturing on this site and now betting on.
Obviously, there's got to be, I think we've got a limit here. We've got a line here about taste. You know, you don't want to be betting on wars. You don't want to be betting on people dying, right? So we try and draw that line. You know, there's one thing betting on elections and what they'll say, the crazy things they'll do, you know. But I try and avoid that, you know, like I don't want to, I mean, obviously we could, you know, there is a chance, and I know people would bet on that. I think that political betting has developed more of a reputation in recent years as a good predictor of world events because, you know, you're going to see it this year with the election, right? There's so many talking heads who have a prediction about what's going to happen tonight, what the result's going to be. They've got no skin in the game, right? They're often wrong. They're often completely badly wrong. Doesn't affect their ability to come back on the TV the next day and repeat that. Whereas political betting markets are pretty good predictors. They're not perfect, you know, very often. Sometimes they're wrong. But I think you'll find that over the years where the odds are generally a fairly good guide as to what will happen. You know, in most elections, favourite wins. The one that's taking the most money does win. And, I mean, to take American elections, I think the only time that I can recall the favourite losing was Hillary Clinton. You know, Biden was favourite in 2020. Obama was favourite both times he won. Bush was favourite both times he won. So, you know, again, it's a very good predictor.
So you like to focus a lot on elections and keep it more within that scope. I mean, I could see you could really come up with a lot of different areas. But I can see where it sounds like you want to keep it more election-based but such as the name of, you know, will India change its name? You know, that sort of thing. What do you feel is probably your funniest betting point in politics? Which one was your favorite that you came up with?
That's a good question, actually. I mean, I think this is a good one tonight, this State of the Union. There's a lot of good ones we've got tonight. And of course, Trump's incredibly entertaining for these purposes. Because, you know, again, like generally speaking, we'll be doing this a lot throughout the year. When Trump is doing a rally, if we know for sure a rally is taking place at a certain time, we'll bet on what he's going to say, right? So, you know, you'll bet on the particular phrases that he says. So, you know, if you think back to 2016, right, when really Trump first came on the scene. I mean, that was a constant source of entertainment, what nicknames he would give people, right? Because, you know, no one had ever done that before. Suddenly you had low energy Jeb, and you had crooked Hillary and lion's head, little Marco, all this. So if he's got like a sort of 10-person debate, you know, you're like, how, what we say most times, low energy Jeb or little Marco or lion's head, that kind of thing. So there'll be plenty more of that. And of course he's got, I mean, what does he call Biden now? He calls him crooked Joe Biden. He used to call him sleepy Joe. So there's a thing. What will he say first, crooked or sleepy? So yeah, all of those things, I think both Trump and Biden are very, very good characters to have for betting. Definitely.
So do you favor US politics for betting?
I don't think anyone in the world can really compete with it. Yeah, I mean, for what we're talking about the derivatives, the fun angle of it, I don't think anything can compete with an American election. There's nothing like it in the world. I mean, I personally, as a Brit, and political betting is very big in Britain, you know, I love our elections. I'm really looking forward to our elections. You know, I'm looking forward to pricing up all of those districts around the country. And on a personal level, I will have my own bets with other firms, you know, or my own predictions. But from an entertainment point of view, you can't compete with American elections. It's brilliant.
Do the American elections bring a lot of traffic into, of the political categories, which categories bring in the most traffic? Is it the US political elections?
Yes, easily. So, I mean, here's a guide. If you take, and I think it's true of all firms, but I mean, if you take the sort of global market as a whole, as I understand it, over the last two elections, 2016 and 2020, these were the two biggest betting events in the history of betting. They surpassed sports, you know. Like prior to the Clinton-Trump election, I think the biggest ever sporting event was the Soccer World Cup final. But then more money was taken on Clinton v. Trump. And then in 2020, Biden v. Trump took seven times as much money as Clinton v. Trump.
Wow.
So it's just an enormous event now. And I know from doing what I do, you know, doing interviews and talk about it all, you know, the appetite to talk about betting on a US election is just unprecedented. It just grows all the time.
That's fascinating. That's really fascinating. And you're saying in part because of Trump. What if it wasn't Trump and it was another politician? Would it be as fun? Would it be as interesting?
Well, I mean, this is a $6 million question. I mean, we don't know yet. I think that Trump entering politics changed the game completely because, I mean, leaving aside any politics, this is a celebrity. You know, previously they were all professional politicians. Suddenly you had a celebrity, someone who was much more famous than any of them, right? And that brings in a bigger audience. And you saw that, never mind the betting, you saw that with the debates. You know, I remember him doing his first Republican debate on Fox, and it just blew away all records for audiences. So Trump certainly has had that appeal. He's changed it. But I think that what's probably happened is these two elections, this era, has turned it mainstream because it's not just Trump and Biden. It's not just American election now. You know, we take a lot of money on these congressional districts. You know, who's going to win the primary in Alabama or Iowa, that kind of thing. That would never have happened 10 years ago. Wouldn't have even been a conversation. But, you know, people are genuinely interested. We have just a European election. I was one in the Netherlands recently. You know, it took a lot of money on that. A lot of interest. That sort of thing just didn't used to happen. It used to just be a UK and a US thing and really only around the main elections. But
Geert Wilders he's another character.
Yes.
So shocking with some of his statements as well. I mean, is that why? I mean, do you attribute the Netherlands with Geert Wilders, what he brings because of his shocking statements?
I think it definitely enhances it, but I also think it would be an event anyway, because I think more than anything, the thing that made that election, there was certainly part of it, but it's also because it was competitive. You know, there were four parties in contention to win the most seats there, right, with a week to go. So it was very unpredictable. You know, we've seen that, like, another big election a few years ago was Sweden, because, again, there was a lot of uncertainty. There were three parties in contention. No one knew who the government was going to be. You know, you knew that the government was going to be some really diverse coalition of four or five parties. And because of that, it became a really exciting betting event. You know, the last thing you want, for example, we mentioned Putin, you know, we've got a Russian election. No one bets on that because we know who wins. It's a done deal, right? There's no excitement at all in it. But the more competitive it is, and US elections always competitive, you know.
So you feel that's what lends to the US being so exciting is the competitiveness. And then, of course, Trump being a character, Biden and his brain freezes and stumbling and his blunders. I mean, I was shocked when I went to the Irish Parliament and they were saying the precautions they took when he came to speak, afraid he might trip down those narrow, steep stairs, and they were all extra careful. So I think what's interesting to me is you're from the UK, your site is global, and you're picking up on all of this. I found it interesting that Ireland took those precautions. So, you know, sometimes I think here in America, we think that maybe other nations might not be aware of certain things. I'm shocked at how they are.
Never underestimate just how newsworthy US politics is. I mean, you know, I say this as someone, I'm a political junkie. I started at uni 30 years ago. It's a passion. So I follow politics. Nobody, no lay person has ever, to my recollection, come up to me and said, you know, who's going to win the French election? Who's going to win the German election? Who's going to win the Australian election? American election, that's all you get all year. I will have all year long people from the UK, people from other countries who I know, you know, who I talk to us about, they'll want to know my opinion on this and that, primaries, who's going to win the debates, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a huge event. And, you know, just in the UK, I mean, going back before Trump, I mean, because I got into this long before Trump, you know, I was watching, the first one that I really watched in depth was in 2004 when Bush beat Kerry. And the eye-opener for me was the primaries. You know, this was in the election was in November, and in January, suddenly the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary were massive events, and they would stay up all night and watch CNN from the UK, right, and watch the results all coming in, you know, and really, you know, I mean, as I recall, you know, the big upset, I think John Edwards won Iowa, maybe it was a big shock. And once that started, you know, this was like no election in the world. I mean, nobody else does that. Everybody else has a general election. It lasts one day. America, it lasts 10 months. And it's like, you know, like scoreboard coming in all night. It's so exciting. And I can remember in 2016, I was in the States all year. I was touring throughout that election, going around the primary states. But I remember being in Iowa and explaining to, you know, on Iowa TV that, like, guys, you don't realise, but it is, at the moment, it's 2 a.m. in the UK. There are thousands of people absolutely glued to the TV set, right? A lot of them will be on their computers gambling on who wins this primary, how many delegates they'll get, et cetera, et cetera. it's a huge event. And they're like, wow, really? People are sat in Britain watching Iowa? I'm like, yeah, definitely, all night long.
Wow. So, on a final question, you're a political junkie. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. How much time do you spend, would you say, in a day just digesting political news?
Oh, that's a terrible question. Really all the time, because, you know, even though, I mean, I also bet on sports and I price up sports for about a night. We've been trading golf all day. But I've always got the news on a screen. And I think you've got to get a range. That's the whole point. Oh, but you don't want to watch the same news all the time, because you're going to get a slant, whatever country, whatever ideology, you're going to get a slant, right? So you've got to get a range of the views. So I'll do that, but also, you know, use Twitter. And the algorithms find you, don't they? If you're a political junkie, your algorithms are going to work you out and they're going to send you every little bit of news. So when something happens of significance politically, I'm going to see it. I'm just going to see it within, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And so it's always being digested. And then obviously with the work as well, every day I'm checking over our markets and trying to think of new ones and thinking what might happen tonight, what might, how what's just happened will affect the markets. I mean, this year, for example, I mean, look, it's a minefield, but there's going to be so many polls, right? It's just going to be, you know, 6 or 7 national polls probably every day come June and July. So you're having to keep in touch with that, digest it, see will it affect the betting.
Your site also has financial as well. There's also that section.
We do. And you know, we do oil, gas, stocks, crypto.
Currencies.
Yeah.
Do you have currencies?
Yes.
On this channel, we watch the U.S. dollar. Matter of when is the dollar going to cease to be the reserve? When is it going to tank? When is that going to happen? Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised you're covering finance as well. It ties in with politics.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like you, as the political analyst, you're mainlining news.
To me, that's the thing I love doing more than the other. I love sports as well, but you know, I have over the years got more and more centered around the politics and the news. And, you know, this year is just going to, the only problem I've got here, you know, is when am I going to sleep this year? You know, we're going to have a UK election, a US election, everything else is going on in the world. I mean, this is, I believe, the biggest year ever for elections. Yes. Around the world.
Yes. The EU.
Yeah.
Elections, the parliament, the commission president's going to changing of the guard for the commission president. Will von der Leyen get another term? Will someone else take the helm? Which political party's there? What's going to happen in the U.S.? Yes. So you're going to be busy. You're right. When are you going to sleep?
Oh, I don't know. I've got a holiday in a couple of weeks, so I think I'll probably just do a lot of relaxation that week, and then that's my lot. Then I just get my head into it. And you've given me an idea here now, because I wasn't really on that EU presidency. I'm going to price that. I'm going to get ahead on that tomorrow, actually.
The faceless bureaucrats in expensive suits. Can you guess the biggest brand they're all wearing?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, if you want some odds on something, just ask. We can price it up. We can price up anything. That's what we do.
Really? So do you have people? Oh, do you have people throw you ideas that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If someone asks, I mean, you know, we always say that. If you want some odds on something, just ask me. I'll put it up. You know, if it's not offensive, you know, if it's not something that crosses a line, I'll do it. It's fine. No problem.
But what if it doesn't have enough people thinking that?
Oh, that's okay. I mean, look, you know, we put up hundreds of markets. Sometimes very few people are interested. Sometimes everyone's interested. That's the nature of the game. It's no great hardship for us to create odds on something. It's no great time. It just takes a little bit of thought and a bit of interest. But why not, you know? Why not? That my general attitude to all of this is that, as I said at the start, you know, you literally can bet on everything. I mean, I got into betting in the first place as a kid because, you know, I worked out, I was good at maths and I was interested in that. And me and my friends would be like, you know, well, let's have a bet on who comes on the telly next or whatever, you know, they're just silly little things. Because you can, you know, everything's got a probability.
You're made for what you're doing.
I am, yeah.
Right? Your site is listed under your name, betonline.ag. What does the AG stand for?
Antigua.
Okay. And definitely check it out. And Paul, I'm going to be checking out your site. It's actually going to be a go-to now for real news.
Yeah, thank you. Brilliant. And you know, I love to say, if you want any odds on anything, just ask.
I will. And I'll ask the audience as well. If you're hearing anything and you feel there's an idea, please shoot it in the comments and Paul will get it. Anyway, I want to thank you for coming today. This has been totally interesting. You know, you grew up in that area.
Yeah, real pleasure to talk to you. Enjoyed it.
And I hope you found this broadcast informative and enlightening. And before we go, I'm going to just pitch a product from China from one of Joe Biden's besties. Now, you know a bestie is a best friend, right? And Joe Biden has two besties, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. But we're going to have a feature now of a product from China that I carry in the Amazon store. And if you purchase from my store, it definitely helps this show to go forward. And of course, I would receive commissions. And I am wearing these wonderful earrings from the Mayaka line, which is in China, and it's in my store in products from China. Yep, these wonderful, beautiful earrings. And you can purchase them, and they're very inexpensive. They could be asking a lot more. They're 18 karat gold plate over solid brass, and your purchase helps the twist go forward. But also, there's wonderful selection. I love these earrings, and you're going to be seeing me wear them more and more. So, till next time, stay tuned. If you don't subscribe, definitely hit the subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in next time for more from Don Provda and Erica Gray for their twist on world news.